This poem is called Planting Seeds. It's in your bulletin. It's your little devotional thing. And if you want to pull it out and follow along, they're going to read one half and then read the other half, because this is really from kids to moms. Amen. You guys ready?
Yep.
Go for it, Lily.
Planting seeds. When a mommy hugs her children, she plants a seed of love, and all her wonderful kisses come from God above. When a mommy laughs and giggles, she plants a seed of joy, like when she tickles your funny bone or plays with your favorite toy. When a mommy tucks you in at night, she plants a seed of peace. She prays for God to bless you with a sweet and restful sleep. When a mommy asks you to wait for things, a seed of patience is what she sows. For all the really good things in life take some time to grow. When a mommy makes your favorite food, she plants a seed so kind. She knows when chicken soup is good for you or when you have cookies on your mind.
When a mommy washes all your clothes, seeds of goodness she plants. She works so hard to scrub and scrub so you will have clean shirts and pants. When a mommy takes care of you all day, faithfulness is the seed she sows. She makes sure you have all you need, like lots of good food and shoes on your toes. When a mommy rocks you in her arms, a gentle seed is planted deep. Sometimes she'll sing you a little song while you're in her arms, you cry or sleep. When a mommy tells you no, 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 she plants a seed of self-control, for she knows not all things are good for you, so make sure you listen to what you are told. But the greatest seed that a mommy plants is the seed of God's great love. She wants you to know him just like she does, so that one day you will both live in heaven above. We love you, and God does too.
Happy Mother's Day.
Woo! Way to go, you guys. Awesome. Good job. You guys are great. Thank you so much. Very cool. I knew they could do it. They go to Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor. They can do it. Amen. I love the kids, you know. They're just so much fun, and they do such a great job, and they can just pull it off like that. Hopefully, I can pull off this message like something. Anyway, we'll get it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the children. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this beautiful day we call Mother's Day, but truly Mother's Day is 365 days a year. It should be, and we should honor them always and forever, and we thank you for your glorious creation as you brought together Adam and Eve and the first mom of all living. And Lord, you allowed us to be involved in your creation as you allow us to create little ones. And Lord, and to see that precious baby and just the precious eyes and them just beginning to grow and all the fun fun things they do as they're growing up, Lord, throughout their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to participate in what you've given us. And what a blessing all the children are. So, Lord, may you bless the moms and bless all the ladies and guide us as we go to your word right now to learn of your ways so that we would bless each other. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I would like to share with you to love, to honor, and to bless. Happy Mother's Day. But in this message, I want to stay focused on mothers especially, but also for all of us as Christians. This message is for all. I'd like for you to memorize something real simple and then to live it as we talk about it this morning. And that memorization is going to be three letters, L-H-B. L-H-B, which stands for love, honor, and blessing. So can we just kind of repeat that for a moment? Ready? L-H-B. B. One more time. L-H-B. One more time. L-H-B. Okay, we're done. You're dismissed. No. Love, honor, and blessing needs to fill our homes on a daily basis, fill our church on a daily basis, amen, fill our communities on a daily basis, and fill our workplace on a daily basis and our world. Because God created love. God wants to honor him and each other, and then he wants to bless us. And we will bless each other in the process. So love, honor, and blessing is our key this morning. Many years ago, I gave a study on the word edification, to edify one another. And so we told everybody, as you go home this week and ensuing weeks, just say if things are going astray in your conversations, kind of negative or condescending or rude or crude or whatever the case might be, God forbid, just say, edify, 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 and change the whole course of the activities going on in the house. So if your kids are arguing, say, edify, edify. If you and the husband and wife start going at, edify, edify, just stop it right there, edify. So I want you to kind of go, LHB, LHB, LHB. Love, honor, and bless. Amen? Now, how do we do this? Well, let's discover. The Word of God has all the answers to life. First of all, we're to love each other. Let's love our moms. It's a special day and always. And one another with God's love. Let's do this. What is love according to God's Word? Love is the high esteem which God has for his children and the high regard which they, in turn, should have for him and other people. The word love is found 361 times in the Bible, quite a bit. It is the most remarkable book of love in the whole world. It records the greatest love story ever written, God's unconditional love for us, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus said this, most famous scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God gave us a glorious gift, his son, to save our souls so that we can live forever in heaven. It's wonderful. Now, you can receive that gift and say, yes, I want that gift. Or you can say, no, 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 I don't want that gift. And you can reject it. If you reject the gift, the Bible says you'll go to hell because you're going to be judged for all your sins. But if you receive the gift of God's love and his son, Jesus Christ, the Bible says your sins are washed away. Though your sins were as scarlet, you'll be as white as snow. We're all sinners. We're all unrighteous. We are not perfect. We are not holy. Only God is. And yet he provides a way for us to reach a holy heaven by sending his holy son who lived a holy life, who died a holy death on that cross and took our sins in judgment. But you have to receive the gift. He'll never force you to go to heaven. It's up to you. If you want to go to hell, it's your own business. You'll send yourself there. You got to work hard at it now. But he says, I've given you a gift. It's the gift of salvation. Jesus also said in John 13, 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, you've learned of me and my ways, if you have love for one another." Now notice that Jesus says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. So he just raised the bar for all of us, amen? Now, we all have kind of a natural love. Oh, I love you, yeah. No, he says, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. Well, how does Jesus love people? Well, he's always there saying kind and edifying things to folks. He's always teaching about the love of God. He's always teaching about the forgiveness of God, about the grace of God, the mercies of God. He's always there to help people. He fed the multitudes, right? All you moms know what it is to make meals all the time for your family, yes? It's a lot of work, isn't it? My wife's a wonderful cook, and I have to exercise quite often because otherwise I'm going to be big as a house. Anyway, and she's a marvelous cook, and I love the food she eats. Honey, keep going. Should I keep going? anyway, but, you know, God wants to bless us and help us all the time, take care of us. Jesus fed the multitudes. He healed people. He helped them out. He gave us the teaching on the Good Samaritan, that if somebody else is hurt, even though you don't even know them, he says, help them out if they're hurting. I mean, this is the way, the life of Christ. And so he says, I want you to have this love. And notice he didn't say, oh, this is an option if you feel like it. He says, this is my commandment. Yes, sir. Every day, I want you to love people with my love so that they know that you are a follower of me. You love me. Amen. And there's no greater love than to love Christ. Then John the Beloved, the apostle, he wrote this in his letter of 1 John. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we recognize when it comes to love, it's a nice feeling. You guys, it feels good to be in love, right? Kind of. I remember as a young teenager, you know, there's someone you're getting a crush on, some girl, and you're like, all these butterflies going on in your stomach, whatever. I don't know what if they're butterflies or what, but anyway, something was going on, right? And you're like, oh, wow, man, she's so cute, you know? And it's a feeling. But then when you really find out what love is all about, it is an action. It's an action. And you got to keep it active in your marriage relationship, amen? That's why you get the term labor of love, right? But you know what? When you're loving each other, it's not so much of a labor. Because don't you like being loved? Yeah, I like being loved. I like it when my wife loves me. It's great. And you know what? My wife loves it when I love her. We do things for each other. We say kind things to each other. We help each other. We bless each other. Wow, honey, did you do that? Yeah, I just saw it needed to be done. Just got it done. Wow, thanks. Wow. Honey, did you do that? Yeah, yes. Well, thanks. It's not that, you know, you always got to harp on somebody. Could you do this for me? Could you do this for me? Could you do this for me? It's like a parrot. Okay. It's like, no, you see it and you just do it because, you know, it needs to be done. And you do it, why? I love Jesus, amen. And I love my wife. She loves her husband. We love our children. We want to have a home full of what? Love. The love of Jesus Christ. So we practice this. It's our lives. It's our action. Do we fail at times? Of course we do. Do we get in bad moods? Yes. But what happens? God convicts us. He says, let's get back on track now. Come on. Let's get out of your funk and let's get going again. One commentator writes, love is like oil to the wheels of obedience. It enables us to run the way of God's commandments. Without such love, we are as nothing. Such spirit-inspired love never fails, but always flourishes. I came across another cute poem, and I forgot to share it first service, so you guys get it second service here. But it's written by a lady, and it's called I Want to Be Locked Up. It's about a mom. Now, hang in there with me. I want to be locked up, away from everything, free from all the craziness a mother's life can bring. No planning, shopping, cooking, 3 healthy meals a day, served up with love to finicky kids who throw most of it away. No constant interruptions, dirty laundry on the floor, driving everyone every place, sibling rivalry, it's war. No one asking me to do things, getting mad if I forget, me giving up my very self. I'm the family marionette. Prison sometimes looks appealing, or maybe the loony bin. I get free time and 3 square meals with nothing to do. I win. I want to be locked up for freedom, time, and such. There's just one obstacle for me. I love my kids too much. So true, so true. Amen. I know life gets crazy. It gets crazy for all of us, but especially for you ladies. Ladies, moms. I don't know how you do it, to be honest with you. I know I would go to work and come home and when the little ones were little ones. You know, my wife, you know, she's been with them all day long and, you know, and I come home and like, what's wrong with her? Why is she not so jovial and happy, you know? And this happened and that happened. The other thing happened is like, take the little ones, you know, you take them. And I'm like, aren't you happy to see me? No, you just want me to... And then, of course, I begin to figure it out. I'm a little thick upstairs, and us guys, yeah? And we begin to figure out, if I was home all day with these kids going crazy and doing all kinds of things, and we had good kids, but you know what? It just, it's not easy having a little baby and all that stuff and diapers and crying and you don't know what's going on. And so we have to be sympathetic, empathetic, whatever, and have that love no matter what for each other and understand each other. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's learn true love in 1 Corinthians 13. You guys ready? Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, before Paul begins to define love itself and putting it into action, he kind of goes through these spiritual actors, I call them. You know what an actor is? It's someone acting out someone that they're not, right? That's an actor. In other words, the real person's here, but they're acting like someone else. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we can do that as Christians. To be honest with you, we can put on a certain face at church and look really good in front of everybody. And then really at home, we're a different person. And God says, not gonna work with me. I want you to be a Christian at home and a Christian at church and a Christian at work and a Christian in the public square. I don't want you to be an actor. So Paul starts off, he says, hey, this person speaks with tongues and all these things. And he says, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. You mean you can learn all the Christianese and you don't have love? Yeah, it's nothing. I can say all the hallelujahs and praise the Lords and speak in tongues. She wrote a Honda. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Whatever. And then he says, you can have all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith, whereas you could remove mountains, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. I've read the Bible 6 times through. I know the Word of God inside and out. I'm telling you. But if you don't have love, it's just a textbook. Then he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I thought this was an interesting actor. One, we saw the spiritual actor with tongues and the intellectual actor with the Word of God. And then there's a spiritual actor here, or sacrificial actor, I put. Sacrificial meaning, don't you realize how much I sacrifice for this family? I do all these things for you. I work so hard for you. That's great. We appreciate it. But could you love us? Yeah, could you just love us? We want to have love in the home and not this whole thing of guilt. Sometimes we do that. We have to be careful. Then we get to verse 4. This is where we begin to define love and experience love and practice love. He says, love suffers long and is kind. He says, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I love this part. Love never fails. Love never fails. Wow. So there's a promise, there's a key here about life. Love never fails. Let me give you some definitions to these particular terms. He says, love suffers long, that is to be long-spirited, that is to be forbearing, that is to be patient. How about your patience? You get impatient with one another. I remember doing homework with my kids when they're little, and they're not getting it. And I explained it to him 5 times already. And I would find myself getting upset. So I start telling them louder how it's to be done. Because I've got to watch my football game that's coming on in about a half hour. It's like, are they going to learn it any faster? Because I'm getting louder and frustrated because they're not understanding how to do this math problem. And God had to convict me and say, Daryl, love is patient, long-suffering. How long do I have to suffer? No. The Lord is good. He's always teaching us about ourselves, what we need to be, what we need to get rid of. So he says, love is suffers long. Love is kind. The word used here denotes to be good-natured, to be gentle, to be tender, to be affectionate, to show oneself useful, courteous, to act benevolently. Gentle and tender and affectionate. Wow. Love is kind. Are we this? That's what we want to be, right? Especially with mom, our wife. Amen. One another. Tender. Sometimes you order a steak and it's really tough. It's like, oh, this steak is horrible. It's tough. But man, when you get a tender filet, oh, melts in your mouth. Delicious. We're coming back to this restaurant. Right? God says, I want you to be tender. Love is kind. Be gentle. Love does not envy, a feeling of resentment and jealousy toward another person because of his possessions or good qualities. God forbid we be envious of other people. Let's rejoice with them. If good things are happening to them, all right. Love does not parade itself. The idea is that of boasting, bragging, vaunting. Most expositors suppose that it has the notion of boasting or vaunting of one's own excellencies or endowments. This spirit proceeds from the idea of superiority over others and relates to feeling of contempt or disregard for them. It's all about me. Yeah, love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. The word means to blow, to puff, to paint, to inflate with pride, vanity, and self-esteem. Wow. You know, we went through the whole self-esteem movement back in the 80s, way back then. That's when it all began. It's all about our self-esteem. It's about me, myself, you know, and all this stuff. When in actuality, the Bible says, esteem others better than yourself. Wow, esteem others better than myself? Well, isn't it all about me? No, it's not about you. The Bible says, esteem others. Encourage them. Reach out to them. Touch their hearts, their lives. Don't be expecting everything for you. Because you know what? They'll let you down, and then you get mad. You get depressed. You get angry, and so forth. Because it's not about you. It's about God. It's about the life of Christ. It's about helping others. Now we got everything on track. Love does not behave rudely, to act unseemly or unbecoming, to speak in a condescending or crude manner, to be discourteous. Let us never be rude to each other. Amen? God forbid. Love does not seek its own. True love is not selfish. It's not self-centered. It's not self-absorbed. We are to love others, to seek their welfare with self-denial. Ooh, that gets hard sometimes. To respond with personal sacrifice and toil. Sometimes, you know what? My plans don't work out because other things have come up to interrupt my plans. And I need to say, it's okay. I'm going to love us through this. It's okay. It's not about me. It's about us together. And I just got to move on and realize I'll get to this another day. It's all right. Love is not provoked, to be quickly stirred to anger, to have a short temper. You know, after the tea, we finished up cleaning up and putting this place back together. About 2 o'clock, I was driving down the freeway heading to where we live, Makakilo. Hopefully we're not sitting on an active volcano. It's kind of rough down there in the Big Island right now. Pray for them. And so, you know, I'm driving, and there's a car about 100 feet in front of me. I'm in the middle lane. And all of a sudden, there's a man and a woman in the seats there, you know, driver and so forth. And the arms are kind of going like this, right? So you kind of get a feeling like they're having a kind of heavy conversation. It's one of those kind of actions, all right? Next thing I see, this guy reaches over and whacks her right across the face. Woman here, man here. He just whacks her one like this. And then she hauls off and she punches him across the face. And he says, they're driving. And the car's going like this, right? I'm like, oh, man, these guys are going at it, you know? And then the next thing, he goes like this again, and then she hauls off, bam, 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 right in his face. You know? I go, that girl's got a punch. And I'm like, whoa, they're in a major fight, you know? And I'm watching this. I kind of start pulling back more because I don't know how this thing's going to end up, right? I'm waiting for them to pull off to the side of the road, and they're going to have a big old fight or something. And then I don't know what I was going to do. But anyway, I called the police. But I tell you what, domestic violence is one of the biggest problems the police department has to handle all the time, especially when drinking is involved. And you know, they finally settled down. The car wasn't going all over the place. I'm going, okay, it looks like they're going to be okay. And I, you know what, just said a prayer for them. You know, Lord Jesus, I pray that, you know, they would stop what they're doing right now and get a control of themselves. And, you know, the Bible says when we get angry, we give place to the devil, that the devil will not have his victory in their hearts. But it was just so tragic to me to watch this happen, you know, right then and there as they continued on. But love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. You know, I tell you what, evil can get the best of us, and we can be provoked to do horrible things to one another, God forbid. That is to have a continual belief that the motives and heart of another is for good. Love thinks no evil, meaning that your love is not malicious or desires to find fault in others, but your thoughts and speech will dwell upon the good. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love does not rejoice in sinful practices of our world, nor do we take delight when a fellow believer falls into sin. But true love will pray for repentance, reconciliation, and restoration. Love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in virtue and godliness, righteousness, and goodness. It does not rejoice in the vices, but in the virtues of others. Love rejoices when others do well. Love bears all things. The Greek word for bear is stegai, which means to cover or hide, conceal, not to make known. This means that love is disposed to hide or conceal the faults or imperfections of others, not to publicize them. Years ago, my wife and I, as a young married couple, we went out, you know, you go out with people that you meet and so forth. Well, we went out with this one couple. I wasn't a pastor at the time. We went out with this one couple. And oh my goodness, all they did was put each other down the whole time during dinner. So, you know, you get real uncomfortable, like, do we need to leave? Do they need to argue together or what? But it was just like one dig against another, and bam, 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 is like, oh man, we kind of looked at each other and said, we don't ever want to be like that. You know, because it was just bad. And, you know, I wasn't a pastor at the time, just Christians hanging out and meeting people, and it was kind of a rough, uncomfortable situation. And you know, you don't know what to say, what to do, but you don't want to be that couple. Amen? Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. This love has a disposition to believe that brothers and sisters in Christ are actuated by good motives and that they intend no injury and that there is a willingness to suppose as far as can be that what is done consistently with friendship, good feeling, and virtue. Love believes all things. I always like to look at people and always believe the best about them. Even if I've heard some bad things, I want to find out the best about them. You know, we all do bad things. We've all done rotten things. That's covered by the blood, right? By the grace of God. I don't want that to judge my present and my future with them. It's all dealt with. Let's deal with where we're at today. Let's love each other. And I know that God has great things for them. Love hopes all things. God's love is an optimistic love, not a pessimistic way. We have hope for today in Christ, hope for change by the power of the Holy Spirit, and hope for eternity as we look forward to heaven. I like this. Love hopes all things. I shared with you guys, many years ago, Chuck Smith gives an example about an elderly lady who had been married for like, I don't know, 55, 60 years, and her husband passed away. And of course, she was heartbroken, and she didn't know what to do with her life. She just felt like, what's the use of living any longer? And she was so despondent and depressed, and she came to Pastor Chuck, and you could see it in her face there after the church service. And he says, what's the matter? What's wrong? I know your husband's passed. What's going on? She goes, I don't want to live any longer. What's the use already? He says, I love the Lord, but what's the use? I just want to quit. My husband's not around. He was the love of my life. And Chuck goes, well, Pastor Chuck says, well, you know, why don't you bake some chocolate chip cookies? There's a convalescent home. You know the one down the street here, about three blocks? Yes, yes. I drive by it when I come to church. Why don't you bake some chocolate chip cookies and just take them to the folks over there? And, you know, maybe just help them out a little bit. Chuck says, she kind of looked at me like, really? Is this all you got? and she kind of walked out. And then he didn't see her for like four Sundays, because usually he would see her. And he's starting to wonder now, kind of, as pastors, you kind of just pray silently to yourself, Lord, what happened to them, you know? Are they okay? Could you maybe have them show up on the doorstep here? And you know, it's kind of funny. You say that little prayer, and the people will all of a sudden show up again. It's like, hey, are you doing all right? Everything? Oh, yeah, I had to go to the mainland. I had to travel. Oh, okay, just wanted to check in on you. And so the woman came back, you know, like the fifth Sunday, and Chuck's all like, oh, thank goodness, she's here, right? So he kind of beelines to her, and he says, how are you doing? And she was grinning. She was happy. She goes, what do you mean, how am I doing? Why? Was there something wrong? And he goes, well, you know, the last time I saw you, you're pretty despondent, and I was worried about it. I've been praying for you, and are you okay? And she goes, oh, I'm doing great. You know, when you told me to make chocolate chip cookies, go take it to the convalescent home, I thought, wow, get out of here. But I did it, and I've been doing it every Sunday. That's why I haven't been here. I'm having so much fun ministering to all these people and helping them out. And Chuck goes, whew. But it's so true. Love needs to be active in our lives. Love believes all things, hopes all things. God has a plan. So our life isn't over just with one person. Our life is never over in Christ, because one day we'll go to heaven. But while we're here, he says, keep filling your life and reaching out and loving others. And I guarantee you, you'll be blessed. Love endures all things. This Holy Spirit produced love bears under any stress or strain. It sustains us and does not complain. This love endures all persecutions at the hand of man and will keep on loving no matter the event. And then, of course, love never fails. Fails, in the Greek, it is ekpeptai, meaning to drop away, to be driven out of one's course, figuratively to lose, to become inefficient. In other words, God's love through us never fails, it never falters, but will have its powerful effect upon everyone and every situation. Make sure that the love of God is in your home. Gentlemen, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Amen. Gentlemen, amen. Amen, amen, gentlemen. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a second. Hey, woke me up again. Yes. Ladies, you're to love your husbands. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on, ladies. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay. And we're all to love our children. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much. Entertain the pastor. Love never fails. And never fails. God wants us to express his love continuously, consistently, and always, of course. We need to honor each other. Let's give honor where honor is due, especially to mom. Amen. What is biblical honor? Let's learn. The word honor is found 144 times in the Bible. Honor means to esteem and respect. Let's look at three key elements of honor as we find them in the scriptures. First, we are all to honor God our Father. Yes, to give him reverence and homage, for God alone is worthy of our highest honor. Amen. Secondly, we are to honor the Son of God. Jesus makes it plain that one cannot honor the Father unless he also honors the Son. Thirdly, we follow the fifth of the Ten Commandments, which states, honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. Jesus even taught that we should honor our parents. It means to also help them out financially if needed. In other words, as they get older, they have ill health, they need help, we're to be there for them, okay? Now, if you have a parent that's wasting money on booze or gambling or drugs, obviously, don't throw your money out there to them, okay? But if they've had a tragedy or an illness or they need help, as they raised us, we take care of them in their elder years. That's what God calls us to do. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I go, that's an interesting comment, right? It says it back there in Exodus 2, that the children may live long on the earth. I wonder if maybe if you're not honoring your dad or your mom, your dad might turn around and say, you're going to meet your maker. So you honor, you'll live long. Amen. So, and this is where we find it's a promise of God. As we honor our parents, he says you'll have long life on the earth. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to take in that passage real quick and just touch upon the honor aspect of our lives as Christians, and especially for moms. We have James and then 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. So we're to love each other with the love of Jesus Christ. We're to honor each other as we would honor God. We honor our Lord Jesus. We're to honor each other, and especially our parents. Honor mom. Now, Peter starts off here in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, wives. Peter's married, so he understands that marriage relationship. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And he says here, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear or reverence, honor, do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, what does that mean, really? In other words, you're not an argumentative woman. You're not a nagging woman. You're not a demeaning woman, okay? That's what he's talking about. When he talks about a gentle and quiet spirit, it doesn't mean you just sit there and don't say anything, you know, like, I'm just a little servant, yes. No, that's not what he's talking about. When he talks about being submissive, he says you're there to be that suitable helper for your husband, as it says back in Genesis. Your husband loves you, should be loving you, as Christ loved the church and blessing you. But he says, some of you ladies have a husband that's not really living the way he should be. Keep reaching out to him in the love of Christ. See him as your mission field, okay, and keep reaching out to him. He says, for in this manner in former times, verse 5, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And, you know, when you look at the life of Abraham, he wasn't the best husband. He made mistakes, right? But when we say calling him Lord, in other words, she didn't lose respect for him. She is her husband and so forth. So she maintained that. And then the Bible says that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Then we get to verse 7. He says, husbands likewise. So ladies, just so you know, God's not just picking on women. He says, husbands likewise. Likewise what? All that I just told the women, you make sure you're doing too for your wife. So you go, likewise, husbands, make sure you are kind to your wife. You're taking care of your wife. You're helping your wife. You're blessing your wife. So you get all these things, also husbands, as well as you wives, amen, equal opportunity. And then for the husbands, I'm going to give you one more verse than the women. Are you ready? Listen, James. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, God says if we have this argumentative spirit as husband and wife, our prayers are hindered. I don't want our prayers hindered. I want my wife and my prayers to go, man, go. Let's go for it, okay? I don't want the ear of God to be shut off because we're arguing all the time, fighting all the time. I want it to be wide open, ready to go. And so he says this. He says, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife, them, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. So God says to us men, it's something that we don't do. Whenever I read something that we're to do, it means I'm probably not doing it. So God has to say, you need to do this. You guys understand? So he says, Daryl, Make sure you're always honoring your wife. Hold her up higher than yourself. She is what I've given you to love and to cherish. To death do you part. Amen. Take care of her. Provide for her. Bless her. You see, this is how God wants us men to be. Isn't that what Jesus has done for his church? You see, he did all these things for a bunch of sinful people to save us and make us his bride. And he's our bridegroom. So I see he leads by example. And so God wants all of us men to honor our wife, the mother of our children. As you love her and you honor her, your children will see that and they will do the same. But if you don't do that, they're going to disrespect her. And that's bad. So it's very important that they see us speaking kindly to her, loving her, honoring her, blessing her, serving her. He's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God is what? Servant of all, right? Now, God says she's a weaker vessel. That means I'm a stronger vessel. That means I'm not to dump life onto her. I'm to be the leader of the home. And so I'm going to lead by example, the example of the love of Jesus Christ, the example of the grace of God, the example of the mercies of God, the example of being one who's going to provide for his family. You see, this is what God says. This is how it's to be. And you know what happens? Your wife is going to be goo-goo gaga over you. Okay? Can I use that term? Does it make sense? So, because she's like, well, you take care of me, you love me, you've blessed me, and I want to do everything for you too. So he says to honor your wife. Now, I'm going to give you one last key here before we jump and go somewhere else. But he says this. He says, dwell with your wife with understanding. Now, gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I don't always understand my wife. No offense, honey. It's just true. She knows it. She knows it. We've had these conversations time and time and time again. What do you mean? How do you want it done? I'm an A to Z guy, as fast as possible. She's an A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Because she has her way of doing things. She likes it laid out a certain way. She likes this to go this way. And in our younger days, early married, I'm like, come on, all right, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then I'm getting upset because, come on. And she's like, no, we got to. And then over time, I realize I'm just causing problems in our marriage relationship. Where I'm just getting frustrated, and then I get angry, and then she gets angry with me, and I'm just blowing this whole thing out of proportion. And then I realize, okay, go with the flow, dude. Go with the flow. She's not you. That was a hard one to realize. She's not me. She's her. Now I got to learn, what is she all about? And he says, by observation, by understanding. So I found out early, and I actually began to read books on marriage, you know, like Dr. Dobson and others. I started reading these books on how to communicate, and the Bible, of course, and other books, and like, oh, wow, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm blowing it here. Wow, I'm blowing it here. I need to be doing these things because I wanted to educate myself to be a good husband and father. And so we learn and we grow. And so when you don't understand something that your wife is trying to convey to you, here's the key. Just ask her. And ladies, don't say to him, you should know by now. It doesn't work. We don't know by now. Okay? We're missing a rib and some other things up here, okay? So it's just not there. So guys, just ask her and then you'll say, honey, this is what how I want you, this is what we need to do today. This. Ah, and you know what else I've learned, guys? Guess what? I repeat it back. You're saying I need to do this, and this? Yeah. Okay, I got it. So I pull out my phone, I get the notepad out, I hit the record button. I need to be doing this. No, I'm just kidding. But if you don't know, why is she upset? What's going on? How can I help? Those are simple questions. Live with your wife with understanding. But if you just see her and she's upset, you don't know why, then you get upset because, well, she's upset. Now you're creating friction. Just ask her simply, say, honey, is there something I can do? Are you upset with me? No, it's not you. It's this. I'm frustrated over here, this thing. So. Oh, okay, I got it. So it's not me. Okay, yeah, don't worry. It's not you. Tell him it's not him. Okay? Well, how can I help? There's nothing you can do. Okay. I'll just do your thing. Amen. Okay? And well, you can do this, didn't do it. Okay? That's little life lessons from Pastor Skinner. But anyway, Pastor Skinner the sinner. Anyway, I tell you, life is just full of lessons. Amen? All the time. And we learn, we grow, and we bless each other. We love each other, we honor each other. Let's finish with the blessings, and we're going to end right here. So let's bless our mothers and one another always and forever. What do you say? So we love each other, we honor each other, and we bless each other. What is biblical blessing? The words bless, blessed, or blessing is found 503 times in God's blessed book, the Bible. To bless is the act of declaring or wishing God's favor and goodness upon others. Anybody ever say to you, hey, God bless you? Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, man, I want God's blessing. I have one brother, he always says, I say, God bless you, bro. And he goes, he already has. I go, that's true. In the Bible, important persons bless those with less power or influence. The patriarchs pronounce benefits upon their children, often near their own deaths. Even if spoken by mistake, once a blessing was given, it could not be taken back. Leaders often blessed people, especially when getting ready to leave them. These included Moses and Joshua and Jesus. Equals could bless each other by being friendly. One can also bless God, showing gratitude to him and songs of praise. God also blesses people by giving life, riches, fruitfulness, or plenty. His greatest blessing is turning us from evil and forgiving our sins. So true. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, which they touched upon yesterday at the tea. So I thought I'd steal their notes. No. Matthew 5. Let's be a blessing to all in heart, attitude, and speech for our Lord's teaching in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught the people, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed means happy. We want to be happy people. We want to be loving people. We want to be honoring people. He says, happy are you if you're poor in spirit. That means if you're humble. He says, happy are you, those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In other words, you've repented of your sinful lifestyle. Now you're turned to God, and you're comforted by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter and the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He comforts us now forever. Happy are you. I like to be comfortable, right? Be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That means you're under control. You're not out of control any longer. You don't lose your temper any longer. Why? Because you're now happy. You are meek. You follow the life of Christ. It brings happiness to all. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now we hunger and thirst on doing right things in life. We want to do what's right. He says, you're going to be happy if you do what's right, and so will others be happy with you. You shall be filled, overflowing with this right lifestyle, doing things that are right and blessing each other. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You're a merciful person. You're not there to condemn or judge or to be quick-tempered with people. No, that you see someone hurting, something's going on, you're there, you're merciful, you want to help them out. So you'll be happy if you live this life. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No ulterior motives, no super high expectations. Let's just be pure with each other and love each other with a pure heart, and then we're going to be happy. All of us will be happy. Let's be happy He says, blessed are the peacemakers, happy are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God. If you feel that tension building in the relationship, the argument starts to explode, if you will. Then he says, be a peacemaker. Make peace. Hold on, honey. Let's not fight with each other. Let's pray. I know I've done wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm not going to defend myself. It was wrong. See, we're peacemakers. We look at things real, and we want to deal with it. And he says, for they shall be called sons of God. We're going to be happy that way. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says, look, as you live as a Christian, people aren't going to like you. They're going to mock you. They're going to persecute you, but don't worry about it. Great is your reward in heaven. Be happy. Be happy. You and I are to be a blessed people, and we're to bless others because God has done it all for us. We're to love, LHB. We're to love, we're to honor, and we're to be a blessing. Amen? I want all the ladies in the sanctuary to please stand. And this prayer is especially for mothers, but I do want to pray for all ladies here in our sanctuary. So please stand if you don't mind. This is called A Mother Prayer by Joanna Fuchs. It says, dear Lord, today we pray for mothers, our own mothers, and mothers everywhere who have made such a major contribution to the good qualities we have, sometimes through genetics, more often through a great effort and patient instruction, and who have done their best to gently polish away our rough edges. Lord, please bless our mothers for the endless hours of time they spent and the boundless energy they invested in us. Bless our mothers for their sacrifices on our behalf, as they often gave up or deferred their own dreams so that we could have ours. Bless our mothers for always being there for us, for being the person we know we can turn to when we need comfort, encouragement, or just a hug. Bless our mothers for making a home for us where we could feel safe, where we felt we belonged. Most of all, Lord, bless our mothers for their unconditional love, for loving us no matter what, and for frequently showing love in ways that make us feel valued and cherished. Lord, please bless our mothers mightily. Strengthen them, soothe them, wrap them in your infinite love, and shower them with blessings too numerous to count, too magnificent to describe. We love them, admire them, respect them, and we wish that you could give them back many times the good they gave to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Let me pray for you right now. Father, we are so grateful for your love for us. You are the creator of love. You are to be honored in all ways. You're to be blessed. May that love and may that honoring take place and those blessings flow as we reach out to one another. And Lord, on this special day for all the ladies, whether they be mothers or mothers-to-be, or maybe those, Lord, who've never been able to conceive, bless their hearts. We don't know the answers to that. Only you do, and Father, we pray that that element in their heart and their life can be consumed by you and comforted by you. And for all the ladies that are mothers here, may you grant them wisdom and knowledge and understanding in that marriage relationship as well as for the children. Truly, they play the most important part in children's lives as they're just constantly nurturing and training and developing them, and as well as the husbands and the fathers. May you guide us all together as one as we work together in raising up the next generation to honor you and to serve you, to love each other. So, Father, may you anoint all here this morning, and especially these ladies. We love them. We thank you for them. May your hand of blessing be upon all. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Ladies, you can be seated. God bless you. Amen.